الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الموت تحفة المؤمن أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال أيضا عليه الصلاة والسلام أكثروا ذكر هادم لذات الموت أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم سلام على خير الأنام وسيدي حبيب إله العالمين محمد بشير نذير هاشمي مكرم عتوف الرؤوف من يسمى بأحمدي صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected elders, brothers, sisters and the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for extending our lives in order to prepare for the akhirah. This life is mahdood. And the life hereafter is la mahdood. This life is limited. And the life hereafter is unlimited. Now in this life of limitation, we have to prepare for the akhirah. Nobody knows when his life will come to an end. And nobody knows where he is going to die. And nobody knows in which part of the earth he will be buried. Whenever the time of death comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his angel, Israel alayhi salatu wasalam, on the spot where his ruh will be taken out, his soul will be taken out from his body. No matter how much we try to avoid the death, the time of death is written for everyone. In Islamic point of view, a successful person is a person when he is in ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered his bounties on all of us. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Every breath we take inside is a ni'mat. Every breath we take out from the body is a ni'mat. If the oxygen goes in the body and does not come out, it is death. If for few minutes, 2 minutes or 3 minutes, that's what the doctors say, if the brain does not get oxygen, it is the death of the brain. And when the brain dies, all the organs, they start failing. The heart starts failing, the blood doesn't reach the brain, the kidneys stops functioning, and so on. So every breath is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all these ni'mahs are limited. There are two types of ni'mah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of us. One is the inner ni'mah, one is the outer ni'mah. Inner ni'mah, the eyesight. It's limited. You reach a certain stage, you have problems with your eyes. Your ears, the balance starts wearing out. The man cannot walk. All the control is with the ears. That is why you should look after your ears. It's a very important organ which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Then the organs, they start wearing out. So these are the inner ni'mats. And then in the end, a person, he becomes paralyzed. And then he remembers his previous life. In young age, what he did do, how he was running out for the dunya. And then he starts regretting, I did not prepare for my akhirah. Because this dunya is preparation for the akhirah. By the time the person reaches 60 years old, then there is no udhar. There is no excuse in front of Allah. Allah will say, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ ما تذكر فيه وجاءكم النذير. Did I not give you a long life? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the life of this ummah is between 70 and 60. It's between 60 and 70. That is our life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away at the age of 63. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away at the age of 63. And if you see many of the ulamas and the shuyukh, and many of the imams, they passed away before 50 years of age. But there is so much work in that 50 years that a person, impossible, he can do it in 500 years. Because when a person strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah opens the doors for him. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا مَوْنَا أَشْرَفَ لِي ثَانْوِي رَحْمَتُ اللَّهِ. He explains this verse that Allah opens the ways for him. Take a step and you will see how you will move. So the inner ni'mats, they will come to an end. And then there are the outer bounties. If you are wealthy, Allah will take the wealth away. A thief will come, he will steal it. There will be a fire in your factory, you will burn all your wealth. Then the children you got, they are the outer ni'mats. Although they are from you, within you, but they are the outer ni'mats. Allah will give you, you will become happy. And when Allah is going to test you, He will take them away. So each of us are going through a test. And according to the worldly point of view, we think that if a person is poor, he is unsuccessful. A person is rich, he is successful. 99% of this world, that is the definition of success in the world. And who has made this definition? The kuffar. But on the Islamic point of view, success is when you are poor, you have sabr. When you are wealthy, you do shukr. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. Allah says, but the inhabitants of the world, they are not grateful. When they get something, they say, oh, I worked hard, I got it. I am very intelligent. I used my brains and I got it. In the same way, a person, when he is ill, he thinks he is unsuccessful. But on the Islamic point of view, a successful person is the one, when he is ill, he has sabr, patience. Imran bin Hasin radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had an abscess in his back, ek phura tha. For 32 years he lied in the same position on his bed. How many years? Not 32 minutes, not 32 hours, 32 years. And whenever somebody went to see him, that is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say when somebody is ill, it is the right of the patient that someone else go and visit him. Ye uska haq hai, musalman ka haq hai. That is why when you go and visit someone, your loved one in the hospital, go and visit the other wards as well. And go and visit people whom you don't know. Even if it is ghair Muslim, non-Muslim, go and visit. You take a basket of fruits, go and distribute among the other wards as well. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when somebody is ill and he has sabr, like in the story of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When people used to go and visit him, he was always smiling. Always smiling. So someone asked him, how is it you are in such a pain for 32 years and you never utter a word, hi, hi. Oh, I'm in pain. Oh, I'm in pain. You're always smiling. He says, why should I complain about this illness? In the state which I am every day, an angel is being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angel says, Allah is doing you salam. So this is the reward of sabr. So we think that when someone is in a musibah, someone is in a problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a health problem, whether it is any other problem, we think that he is unsuccessful. This is what we think. But in Islamic point of view, Islam says that if you are in a calamity, like the brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of Palestine, what type of sabr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. When my daughter passed away, the first thing it came in my mind, that, oh Allah, I'm losing one of my daughters. I got two daughters. One of my daughters I've lost. What should have happened for those brothers and sisters who have lost the entire family in front of them? So this life is test. And sometimes the test comes to elevate your rank. When my daughter passed away, the first thing which came in my mind was the verse of the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah is saying, we will test you, not the people, not the kuffar. You, the Ahl-e Iman. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ with different type of things. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Sometimes there will be the fear. In many things you will have fear. You have to give a charity, you want to give a charity, but there is a fear. If I give, I'll become poor. The fear of the kuffar. So sometimes I will test you through fear. Waljur, and sometimes I will test you through poverty. Wanaqsim min al-amwal. Close it, whose it is? This is the Israel bomb. You see, disturb the whole bayan. Throw it outside. Close it for him. Islam, close it. Did you see what Netanyahu said 2-3 days ago? Everybody has got a bomb in his hand. This is Israel bomb. And what is that bomb? Mobile phone. The lithium battery which is used inside is manufactured by Israel. Israel can blow your bomb, your mobile phone anytime. If he wants to kill Musa, just he has to do something. The phone is Musa's hand, he will go.
Life and death is in Allah's hand. And nowadays, mashallah, somebody is phoning, we can hear the words of the Quran. The tone. Another tone is ringing. It's not ihtiram, respect of the Quran. Are you using the Quran as a toy? As a tone? You will have to answer on the day of judgment. So Allah says, "Wal anfus, wal ju, wa naqsim min al amwal." Sometimes I will remove your infrastructure. You'll go bankrupt. Wa tijaratin takshawna kasadiha. You will have business, but you will have fear all the time. I will go bankrupt. The environment is not good. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ And I will test you through your nafs. I'll take someone from your family. As in my case, Allah took my daughter. The same daughter, when she was born, I was young, I was happy. I gave azan in the right ear, ikama in the left ear. And Allah showed me the day when I am doing her janazah namaz. وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالْتَّمَرَاتِ And sometimes I will take away all your harvest and fruits and everything. Tsunami will come, your farms will be destroyed. But then Allah is saying, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Give glad tidings to the people who have sabr at that time, patience. So this verse came in my mind. And then Allah says, Alladina ida asabatum musiba, whenever there is a calamity on you, there is a test on you, you say, Qalu, Inna lillah. Wallah, you have taken my daughter, this is the meaning of Inna lillah. Wallah, you have taken my daughter, but we all belong to you. My organs belong to you, my eyes, my ears, my son, my daughter, my sister, my brother, all belong to you. And my Nur Islam family, they all belong to you. Inna lillah. So you haven't done any injustice to me. And then at the same time, I remembered the death of the Prophet's son, Ibrahim. I remembered. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shedding tears. And what did he say? Inna bifiraqika lamahzun. Ya Ibrahim, inna bifiraqika lamahzunun. O Ibrahim, with your departation, when you are departing and you have departed, you feel sad. This is nature. So in Islam there is no haram. If you shed the tears. But as a Muslim, what we have to do? O Allah, because people sometimes they question, why did Allah take my daughter? Something happens to a brother, he says, why did Allah? He found me only on the surface of the earth, 7 billion people. Why did he do to me? No, you should not say that. Inna lillah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ What is the meaning of that? The worldly meaning is we will return. No, but to understand it, what is the meaning? Wallah, you have taken my daughter, but I will be following her. When we go to the graveyard, which dua we did? أَنْتُمْ سَلْفُنَا وَنَحْنُ بِالْأَثَرِ That you are first. When we go to the graveyard, we say salam to the people who are in the grave. You are the leader. You have come first in the grave. But wa inna bikum laha. After a few days, we will be also following you. So Allah, you have taken my daughter. But I will be joining her very soon. You haven't taken her. I'll meet her. And all of us will meet our loved ones, those who have lost their parents, like Musa bhai, just a week before he lost his mom. So Allah hasn't taken your mom away. You inshallah will meet her. And then another incident of a tabi'i came in my mind. I'm just sharing with you how Allah gives sabr, you know. It's very important. Sabr is very important. Sabr is like the head is the main part of the body. The head. Without the head, a man is finished. So sabr is the head of Islam. Someone asked a Sahabi, is there anything more important? No, one sheikh, he asked another sheikh, is there anything which is more important than sincerity, ikhlas? He says, yes. Sabr. Sabr is the greatest amal of the deen. And Allah only tests the loved ones when He wants to elevate His rank. He tests. So when I was standing on the grave, thanks all of you brothers who participated, and for all your support from Noor Islam family, may Allah grant you as well sabr. So when I was lowering her in the grave, something made me happy. You will say, is Maulana silly? He's lowering his daughter in the grave. Something make me happy. And what was that? Oh Allah, you have given me the opportunity to do one sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lowered his son with his own hands. And today I am standing in front of this grave, and I am lowering my daughter. So before that, at the time of death, a story of a tabi'i came in my mind when she was passing away. The incident, the story of Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. He's a tabi'i. And who are his ustads? Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'd ibn Waqqas, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. These are the teachers. He's a tabi'i. He's the son of Zubair ibn Awam. Zubair ibn Awam is the husband of Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Asma is the sister of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And Asma is the daughter of Abu Bakr. Aisha is the daughter of Abu Bakr. Now imagine, Zubair ibn Awam is a grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And a student of very big Sahabis. Can we ever think for a moment that he will commit any sin? Such a great man. So when he entered the calamities in his life, the tests, someone might say he must have done something wrong. That is why Allah tested him. No. It is not always that someone does something wrong, Allah tests him. No. Allah wants to elevate his rank. And every day he used to read 7.5 siparas, chapters of the Quran. And then he used to repeat that 7.5 chapters in his tahajjud salah. If you talk about his salah, his charity, his ibadat, his piety, his generosity, very high. So during his time in Damascus, which is in Syria, Walid bin Abdul Malik, he was the ruler. So he invited him. Zubair bin Awam, Urwa bin Zubair. Zubair bin Awam is his father. Urwa bin Zubair, he went on his journey and he accompanied his younger son. He had four sons. He was welcome in Damascus because the ruler was there. Like today, when Donald Trump comes, how do they welcome him? When another ruler comes from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the way they welcome. So that was a tradition of the royal families. So welcomed him. And he had a very nice stable in which there are very expensive horses. So the young boy, he had a desire to ride the horse. So he went in the stable. Stable of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, Walid bin Abdul Malik. Where he entered the horse and he tried to get the rein of the horse. The horse kicked him. And immediately he died. Young boy, maybe he might have kicked in the head. And as I mentioned, when you are hurt in the brain for 2 minutes, if the oxygen doesn't go, the whole brain dies. And the brain is only 400 grams, which I never knew before. But when the incident of my daughter happened, when I was sitting and having a meeting with the consultant and the surgeon, they said the brain is only 400 grams. So if the oxygen stops, you can't revive the brain. So same happened with this boy. He passed away. And after that, next day, his father, Urwa bin Zubair, he had some inflammation in his legs. So in those days, there was no anesthetic medicine. So the Hakim said it has become septic and there is gangrene in the leg. So we have to cut the leg. So he said, okay, you can cut the leg. So there is no anesthetic, so we have to give you alcohol. And that alcohol will make you intoxicated. And when you will be in intoxication, we'll cut the leg so you won't feel the pain as much. He said, no, leave the alcohol, leave it to me. He said, five people will have to hold you. He said, no, you don't need to. He started reading the Kalima. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He concentrated on his creator. And they amputated the leg. So when the time of leaving comes, his son is not with him. And the ruler was very sad as well, that I invited him, I welcomed him, but what a tragedy, what has happened? Because when the time of death comes, nobody knows. Like in my case, in my daughter's case, I announced Zohar time, there will be Bayan after Asr. And I was preparing the Bayan at home. And someone rang me. And he didn't disclose that what happened. He says, can you come at Tesco? I said, why? He said, no, I need you quickly. So it's not even in the mind. A man is not prepared. And suddenly he sees his daughter on the road in an accident. imagine that image which I saw and at that time. A man can collapse himself if the iman is not strong. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was firm at that time. And I did whatever I had to do. So when he returned home back, he gathered his family. So this is the story which came in my mind. And he said to his wife, to his children, to his siblings, he said, Allah gave me 4 sons and I lost 1. I still got 3. Allah has given me 4 main organs, 2 legs and 2 hands. Allah took 1, but still I got 3. So when I pondered on this story at that time, Allah gave me sabr. Automatically sabr came. And today I am sitting in front of you. Alhamdulillah, you brothers and sisters at home are listening. We pray for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. Brother Musa's mom, Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus. And all our loved ones who are here, if they have lost any sibling, any parent, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give sabr to all of us. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdi. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alimiya department having a monthly halaqa this Saturday, this Sunday, 5th of October from 10:30 to 12 p.m. This is a sisters only program and we would like our sisters to attend this beneficial program. Next chat and chai session is on this Tuesday, 7th October from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. These sessions are exclusively for brothers who are over 60. So my one nasihat to these brothers who come to the chai and chat, talk about deen. Don't talk about dunya. Listen to each other kalimas. Talk about deen, little small stories, talk about that. So that is a way to occupy yourself. When you occupy yourself, somebody was telling me, last night he phoned me, Masa, you already went to the mosque. I said, yes, we have to carry on the life. This is Allah take it, inna lillahi wa inna. But we have to carry on with our lives, my brothers. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdi.